Before I get started, I had the privilege of talking to some people yesterday about our church. And it took about almost 2 hours. And the more I talked to them, the easier it became to brag on our church. You don't sit down and think about all the blessings that God has put on this church, then you can't possibly even take it in. So one thing led to another. They were asking me questions. And you know, how many churches do you know over a period of 10 or 12 years has accumulated $1 million in bank account? How many churches our size give $50,000 to Lottie Moon? How many churches our size give $17,000 $50,000 for Amy Armstrong? One thing leads after another, and we've every quarter that we have a business meeting, we add to the bank account. The only time we've ever gone backwards is when we've done something like replaced all the units, the air conditioning units, and we didn't miss the budget by much then. We've spent almost $40,000 on carpet, but the budget still went forward. I mean, you know, the savings did. And then the Wednesday night activities we have, RAs and GAs and ACT teams and all that stuff. How many churches our size do the things that we do and then have the nursery that we have available? Most churches on Wednesdays our size, especially the way we are now, would say we're not going to do anything. We don't have enough help. You know, so, this went on for about 30 minutes, and just every time I said something else would come to mind about our church and how good and blessed we are. You know? So, I don't know about you, but my heart is overjoyed with Hillcrest Baptist Church. And what a blessing it is to be part of this church. I know that sometimes we'll have issues with each other, but get over it. We are a blessed church. Carl was just telling me, he talked to his old pastor, and they haven't met in months. Is it Oklahoma? And they're not allowed to meet. They can't even have parking lot church. The pastor feels about that little because he can't do anything, can't visit. But after 4 or 5 months of this stuff, you know, you start feeling yucky. Depressed. We haven't got to that point. We do things still. And then the things that we're not doing that I was able to share with them, I started telling them about all the fellowship meals we have. Every month we have a Joy's meal. And these people are Joy's age. And they were just thrilled to know that our church meets once a month with the Joy's and we go out sometimes. I was honest with you. I said that sometimes we'll have 35 or 40 back there for our dinners, but then if we go off, it'll just be 12 or 15 of us. But you go with the goers. You know, you just do. So. Then I told them about every quarter we have potluck. I said, we're Baptists. We love to eat. They amen that because they're Baptists too. And then I told them about Fifth Sunday Night Sing. How enjoyable that is, and how we get excited to just be here to listen to everybody and they sing and the talent. Wayne, I bragged on you. Don't get a big head about that, but I said, Wayne's homegrown. We feel like you are. You know, we've watched you grow up and you're leading us now. And it's just one thing after another. So if you get down or depressed, start thinking about these things, what all's available here and how God has blessed Hillcrest Baptist Church. We're going to look at Luke chapter 12. I need to quit talking so we can get to this. We're going to look at Luke 12, 42 and 43, but then we're going to go back and look at 35 through 41. So I want to start out so you'll know what we're talking about. Luke 12, 42 and 43. And the Bible starts out, and the Lord said, Jesus says, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? And Then he answers the question, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes, when the master comes. Well, what do you think that's talking about? Yeah, the second coming. So let's look at verses 35 through 41 because that's where we're going to spend most of our time. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? So we're going to talk about the faithful servant. And just a couple of thoughts that I want us to get excited, but I also want us to look inwardly, because this is the Lord Jesus speaking to us. And he's talking about his faithful servants watching for him to come back. And the very first thing I want you to understand is it's Jesus speaking to us. And as he's giving us instructions, he's giving us instructions pertaining to his second coming. So if he's giving us instructions pertaining to his second coming, don't you know that he knows what he's going to be watching for? Did that come out right? He gave us specific instructions, and everything about these verses I've read are very specific, coming from the Lord Jesus, our Master. And he tells us, I'm coming back and I'm looking for the faithful servant, and that faithful servant will be, and we're going to discuss what he's looking for. So as we discuss this, I want us to think about our lives, everyday life, every minute of the day, because you know as well as I do, the Lord can come back this very second. So again, let me read the verse 42 and verse 43. I want this to just really get in our hearts, pierce our hearts. And Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food? So he asked the question, who is this faithful servant? So I put down my Bible for a minute and thought about that, and I'm hoping, I pray that we all would want to be found that faithful servant. We all want to hear, well done, my faithful servant, when we look him in the eyes, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so Jesus asked, who is that faithful servant? And then he answers it in verse 43, blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. So we're going to see what he expects out of us as he comes. So we're going to go back to 35 now. So again, I want you to think about your life every single day, whether you get down, up, in between. The Lord is speaking to us, and this verse 35 is directly to us. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Now back in the old days, they wore these long flowing robes, and they almost hit the ground, and when they ran, they would pull them up and tuck them in their belt so they didn't trip or the robe didn't get in the way. They girded themselves. As they girded themselves, there was a readiness about them, a willingness to run, a willingness to do something. Otherwise, they wouldn't have girded themselves up. So Jesus says, gird yourselves, and it becomes a picture of readiness. We are to gird ourselves. It becomes a picture of alertness, watchfulness, preparing to go somewhere. Today, it'd be like saying, roll up your sleeves and get to work and be watching. Be ready for some serious service to the Lord. Be dressed for action. Be prepared at all costs and all times. And the reason I said it like that, because he could come this very second. So if he were to come this very second, and we're talking about this right now, are we thinking, God, you can come right now. I need to be watching for you. I need to be ready for you this very second. Think about all the things that we do in a day's time that gets our focus off of Jesus coming back. So he's given us this instruction, be ready, light your lamp. You know, back then they used oil lamps, and keep that lamp burning, Jesus says. Keep your heart burning. Keep your focus burning. Keep your word in your heart living for God. Be ready, be willing to do whatever it is to stay busy for the Lord, because this is what pierced my heart so hard about this. He's given us instruction to be a faithful witness, and he's given us exactly what he's going to be looking for when he comes back. Pretty tough pill to swallow at times, but that's exactly what he's going to be looking for. He's going to be looking for those lamps that are lit, those believers that are walking in light. 1 John tells us that there's no darkness in Jesus. If we're walking in light, then we belong to the Lord. If we're walking in darkness, we don't belong to the Lord. So keep that lamp lit. But also, as we think about darkness, what do you think lurks in darkness? Evil and sin, the yuck of the world. So keep your lamp lit. Be ready for when he comes back. Robert Murray McShane wrote this. He used to ask people, do you believe Jesus is coming today? And if they replied no or I don't know, he would say, then you better be ready, for he's coming at an hour if you think not. What a question to ask people. I used to have a friend that didn't matter where he went, he'd ask him, are you a believer? Are you ready? And people get fighting mad when he asked them that. Remember Richard? Not you, Richard. Not Richard in Calvary. We were at a gas station one time. You know, the multiple, what do you call those things you pump? The pumps. I said pumps that you pump should be multiple pumps. We were at this corner, and way over there was another corner, and he yelled all the way across, and this thing was filled with people. Hey, are you a believer? Are you saved? You know, and all the people just stared at Richard. He had hair that stuck out like this, and gray head, and he was a character. But he was making sure that people knew who the Lord was. Gird up yourself. Keep your lamp lit. Right before going to bed, Pastor Horatio Boner said this, perhaps tonight, Lord, right before he went to bed. And then in the morning when he woke up, perhaps today, Lord, every day, he'd say those same two things. Before he went to bed, perhaps tonight, we're talking about the second coming. Since he woke up in the morning, he knew that Jesus hadn't come. That was the kind of attitude he had, constantly thinking about Jesus coming back. And then verse 36, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes, he knocks and they may open to him immediately. I circled this word immediately. You know, sometimes we get a knock on our door late. I remember the time y'all had that, or several, I know you did, but people would run out of gas on Dover Road and knock on the door, and you really didn't want to answer the door, did you? Yeah, late, and I'm not going to say whether Richard packs or not, but you know, but Jesus says he's going to be knocking, and he's expecting us to open that door immediately, so if we're going to open the door immediately, we got to be ready. We've got to have our lamps lit. I mean, this is what Jesus is saying. Readiness, immediacy, I mean, all of it. Have you noticed everything's pointing that way? Anybody know what a round to it is? A round to it? This is a round to it. When we get around to it, well, there's no round to it, about being ready for Jesus. There's a lot of things that he's expecting from us. Again, this is how I started out. I want you to look inwardly. How often have we had the attitude of, Lord, I'll get around to it later on? That's not being ready. That's not being watchful. This says round to it. For those of you who can't read, somebody gave that to me. I'm not sure what they meant by giving me that thing, but I've had it for years, and I thought, oh, this would be a good time to use that thing. See, Ron, I'm copying you. Say something about you that I don't want you to get embarrassed about, but at Ruby's funeral, one of the brother Willie Freeman, which is to me is a giant of a man, but he looked at that man right there and he said, you have made a difference in my life. Boy, that just spoke to my heart. You know, we ought to make a difference in people's lives. They ought to be able to say the same thing about us all the time. You made a difference in my life. And that's coming from Willie Freeman. If you don't know Willie, he's a great man of God. That's saying something. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I could have gone on and on, but I want us to hear, to be watching and ready, because Jesus could come. And these are instructions from the Lord, and this is what he's going to be looking for. Those that are watching and ready for him to come. We have our lamps lit. We're ready. We've got our sleeves rolled up. We're working for the Lord. We're not discouraged. You know, we get down a little bit, but get on up again because we need to be watching. He can come at any time. I read a story that tied into this. Colonel Rahl, R-A-H-L. It's a Civil War story, but he had the round to it attitude. An incident from the American Revolution, I said Civil War, but it's the Revolutionary War. American Revolutionary War illustrates what tragedy can result from procrastination and neglect. It is reported that Colonel Rahl, commander of the British troops in Trenton, New Jersey, was playing cards when a courier brought an urgent message stating that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware River. Rahl put the letter in his pocket and didn't bother to read it until the game was finished. Then, realizing the seriousness of the situation, he hurriedly tried to rally his men to meet the rest of the regiment or the coming attack. But his procrastination was his undoing. He and many of his men were killed, and the rest of the regiment were captured. Noble Quayle said, only a few minutes delay cost him his life, his honor, and the liberty of his soldiers. Well, think about Jesus coming back, and he's given us instructions to be watching, to be ready, to have our lamps lit, to be doing what we're supposed to be doing until he comes back. And think about the things that we procrastinate about, the round to it in our lives. And, only a few minutes, this man lost his life because playing the card game is more important. Well, that struck my heart because so many times we have more important things to do than the Lord's work. Let's pray. Father Almighty, we do love you and praise you and thank you, God, for being patient with us. And also thank you, Father, for a specific instruction that you give us. Lord, we can be ready every single moment of our life. We can be watching every moment of our life for you to come back. What a joy it'll be when you come back and you find us watching and ready. Because the Bible says we'll be called in your eyes a faithful servant. That's our goal, Lord, to be faithful to you, to be that good and faithful servant, and to hear when we get to heaven, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Be with us, Father, as we go home. I pray your blessings on each one. I pray safety on the way home. I thank you, Lord, for their presence here. God, just bless them in a great and mighty way, and I pray this in Jesus' name.